Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged episode. I have no idea. But before we get going, I'd like to give a shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Go over, mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off and they'll take really good care of you. Before I forget too, if you like this podcast, go over and check out some of our other ones like High School Hoops, Coaching Youth Hoops, 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast. If you're looking for that one defense that will work against anybody, the Funnel Down Defense Podcast, the Rule of Three Offense that will work at any level, go over and check those out. Leave a 5-star review if you would like those. But also go over and check out teachhoops.com. For coaches who want to get better, it's a one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's resources. It's everything. It's what I would have wanted as a 27-year-old basketball coach. It's a roadmap to success on and off the court. And we offer a 14-day free trial because I'm a coach. I understand how it goes. Go over and check it out. Kick the tires around. See if it's for you. And if it's not, we'll part our ways and we'll say thank you and move on. But I guarantee you're going to love all the material. And the material we're always putting in teachhoops.com. But anyway, have a great day, everybody. And let's head off to the podcast.
There are not too many today, so I won't keep you very long.
Okay.
So I have been working on turnovers, on being strong with the ball. Remember, we talked about this. Just focus on a couple things.
Yep.
Practice. Been about being strong with the ball, turnovers, breaking the press. Those are the big areas, and working on our defense. That's it.
Yep.
That's it. I haven't worked on any offense. So actually the defense got better. We only we held them to 51 points on Saturday.
That's really good with 38 turnovers. Yeah.
Coach or 27 that year. So I gotta focus on the positive. So I will tell them, hey, you know, we turned over the ball up, but we held them to 51 points because our defense has gotten better because we focused a lot on it.
Well, here's the issue. It's 20. So here's the issue with turnovers. It's 28 times you didn't get to shoot at the basket. Or 27, I guess it was 27. So 27 times you didn't get to shoot at the basket. So if you make 30% of those, how many did you lose by?
51-25.
Yeah, it's close. The game's close. If you hit half of them, you win. That's the issue. It's like you're just not getting enough. 28 times. I mean, that's 27 times. That's crazy. If you hit a three each time, that's 81 points. So let's say you hit a three a third of the times. It's game's tied. Or you're up. So I think you got to do the math with them about what turnovers are times that you can't shoot, you can't score, you can't, you know, every time we turn it over, you got to do the mental part with them too.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it, coach. I've done every little trick in the book. I've said, look, throw the ball in the stands.
Yes. So where do the turnovers happen?
They happen on traps or when they get nervous and just don't find a good angle to pass. It's just, you know, what you would see in inexperienced kids who are learning how to play basketball.
Yeah, and they're not, and they're, and yeah. So you got to teach them to, yeah. Is it on the dribble? Is it on the pass and catch and they get doubled? Is it?
It'll be in press. It'll be against press. When would they press us?
Okay.
It'll primarily be during press or when they're double teamed. And then our guys aren't coming to them.
Right. They're not, yeah.
Despite everything we repeatedly tell them over and over. I mean, I've shown them film. I've done it. I mean,
you talked about breaking the windows too.
Yes.
Yes. And you're working on not breaking everything without dribbling?
I haven't done any drills with the not dribbling.
So I would do that next.
Okay. Give me a drill to do today.
I would do 3-on-4 full court, no dribbles.
3-on-4. So 3 offense, yep, against 4.
And then 4-on-5. You could even do 2-on-3. You want a disadvantage. You can do, actually, initially, I'd probably do a 3-on-3 with your guys, or 4-on-4 or 5-on-5. So it's not there's not an extra defender. So I might, with your guys, initially do 3-on-3, no dribbles until you get to half court. And then you get to play 3-on-3 once you get to half court.
So 3-on-3, full court, no dribbles till half court. At the half court,
then just let them go at that point. Yeah. And then do the same thing, go 3-on-4 and no dribbles till half court. So what it's going to do is it's going to teach them what they can and can't do. It's going to teach them where to put the ball, not to put it above their head, not to put it below their waist, you know, all that stuff. And they're going to have to move or no one's going to be open because there's an extra defender when you put the disadvantage in there. So that will help a lot. And then eventually you want to do it 5-on-5 into your offense. You want to pressure 5-on-5 into the offense.
I love everything you said, which I'm going to do. Is there a place for just doing it the full court versus just till the half court?
Yeah, you could do the no dribbles. Yeah, with your offense, you could probably do that. I would initially do that. You want to give them some. You want to give them some positive reinforcement. But yes, I would. You could do it. You could do it until you score. Yeah,
you could just do it in the half court too, right?
You could. Yeah, we run our offense all the time. Like today, we have practice tonight, and before we do our offense, we play 3-on-3, no dribbles. I'm just trying to teach them how to run the offense without the dribbles, how to cut, how to come off screens, how to do that. If you let them dribble, that's the first thing they'll do. They'll do it, and they'll do it often. Yes.
Okay, so, all right, so that's one. So, all right, you gave me, and please send me the tape. I'll remind you, I need to hear this again.
Okay.
And everything you said,
I know, I hear you.
Then the next thing, anything you want to add about that?
Nope, that's perfect.
Then the next thing is, so because we've worked so much on our defense, which you can see made some,
yeah,
try to work on our turnovers, that part's still a work in progress. We haven't really worked on our offense. We worked a lot on our press break, but we haven't worked on our half court offense. So what happened the last two games? Pressure half court man-to-man defense, and our guys, instead of running our 5-out, you know, rule of 3 offense, they run nothing. And so
they stand,
or they just pass and don't move. Like they'll pass and just not make any progress forward. They're so nervous. They just aren't in in position.
They've gotten past the first line of defense. Now they haven't gotten now it's like, yes. So that's where the turnovers happen. They get sped up. They go too fast. Part of it's inexperience. Trust me, I play four sophomores. Part of it's inexperience. Part of it is you need to rep that. So that's why I'm saying you might want to go 5-on-5 till half court. And then that's why put the dribble back in, take the dribble out, make them make 10 passes, do things, put different constraints in there so they practice what the issues they're having.
Okay. My JV coach is well-meaning, but sometimes he's still young and experienced. And so in the middle of our game Saturday, it's like, coach, they're not running anything. And he tries to draw up, which I got to talk to him about. Like, he shouldn't be doing this, but I know where his heart was in the right place. Tries to draw up an offense for them to run in the middle. I'm like, coach, that's not going to work. And of course it doesn't work. And so I'm like,
because when things go bad, you got to rely on the old. It's like that's like a life lesson. When things go bad, you got to rely on the things that are consistent and you know and you understand. And it's like, I'm not going to learn physics when I don't know, you know, some basic. I got to learn the basic math first. So no, when things go bad, you got to lean on the stuff you can do.
Your opinion is exactly right on. And my thing is this. So, you know, even when people say stuff, a lot of it may not be on point, but sometimes you can gather something out of it. And so at halftime, he's like, coach, your guys are not running anything, maybe just a set. And so I did a very basic set for them, and they actually ran one little set. It was very simple.
Yeah, so here's what I would say is you probably need maybe a couple sets or plays or quick hitters or whatever you want to call them to rely on when things aren't going well, like a clear out or a high low or a triple screen, you know, ISO kind of, I don't know, something. Yeah, you might want something like that when things aren't going the way you want them to.
Is this here's my question. Even out of a set, because I mean, honestly,
a set is the only good thing about a set is it's kind of like a continuity offense. They know where to go. They know what to do. You're saying, get up, wash your face, brush your teeth, go to the bathroom, wash your hands, and come down for breakfast. I'm giving you the pattern of what you're supposed to do when you're 7 years old.
Yeah. So my question with regards to a set, which basically we do have a set. But they were in, it's a pick and roll set. Okay. And that was hard for them. And that's kind of what I told them. I said,
well, you need one that you can run against pressure. You can release pressure. You need one that releases your best player, one that gets it to, like, you need to think about those.
Yeah. I have something to release pressure. So yeah. I'll do,
because a ball screen will not relieve pressure. A ball screen will probably often bring more players toward the ball.
And that's probably my error, because
you probably don't want that.
Okay.
you could do a fake handoff. You could do a flip. But you bring a ball screen, especially for now good players, it's different. But for inexperienced players, bringing someone toward the ball, they're going to double, and then all of a sudden the panic's going to happen. So okay. My better teams, I run more ball screens to alleviate. Against my inexperienced teams like I have now, I don't want to run ball screen because I don't want to necessarily bring someone toward the ball.
Well, there it is. Last year, that's what we ran. We ran a ball screen.
Pressure. And you were good. And you were good enough. And you had a good point guard. And they could read things. And you probably don't have that this year. So.
I don't.
They're panicked and they're freaked out. And now all of a sudden you brought someone else into the equation that's causing more chaos.
So we'll run a 1-4, 1-4 set.
Yeah, I like 1-4. I like 1-4 because it gives options. Yep.
So I'll run a 1-4. I also have like a very simple couple of just really like go wash your teeth sets.
Yes.
So I'll do those. I'll do all the things you said. And I will proceed on with life being positive with these kids.
You have to be. That's why I'm with my guys. It's like, Did we get 1% better today? Did we get 1% better today? Did we get 1% better today? You know, because, you know, we've had, I refer to it as control the controllables. And we can't control that half, that we have been more hurt than any team I've ever coached. And sick and hurt, and it happens. We can't control the controllable. You can control only the things that you, what's in front of you. So, yeah, I know. Yeah. I hear you.
I want to ask you that as my final question is players, like stats. So I'm going to tell you, you know what, you're familiar with the Huddle VPS, you know, VPS, the value.
Yeah, system. It's a little bit overrated statistic in my opinion.
Okay, so that's what I want to ask you. Well, I have, I think, one person at a 1.0. Everybody else is under one. Yes. Yes, coach. Yes. I have one person at 1.0. Everybody else is under one. And so what I want to ask you is, I have some kids who try really hard, but their VPS is not good. And I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because obviously the whole team is not very good this year. So
Think about what it goes into the VPS. It's points, rebounds, assists. Well, it gives extra points for assists, charges, steals, blocks. And then if you can't shoot and you turn the ball over, you're going to have a low VPS because the denominator is free throw misses, field goals, turnovers, things like that. So, yes. I mean, your best player should be in the high ones, if not twos, for VPS.
That was last year. This year, right. It's... So, you know, and I understand it, and I love the kids, and I'm just working with them. But when I see a kid working so hard, and his VPS is not good, I almost feel like this is not what's going to help me determine, because everybody's VPS is not good.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. If everyone's is, then you got to look at other things. How many deflections, how many charges, how many steals, you know, are they diving on the, I mean, there's some X from a stats teacher. Again, it's a data. It's like a pull. It's a snap in time. And it does tell you a lot. It does tell you a lot, but with your team, if everyone's below one, oh my gosh. I wouldn't worry about it.
So then with reference to this, what I did, and tell me what you think about this. So because it hasn't mattered, we've been losing by 20 to anywhere between 20 and 50 point losses. I basically, when the starters aren't performing and I'm just throwing in the next five guys. Come on in. What difference does it make? The next five guys off the bench, flip. And that's kind of like what I did. And I think I found something, because I think it puts a little fire under the so-called starters. Right. Have you done like that? Any thoughts?
I have not recently. Your standard deviation is probably not as big as my standard deviation. So when the spread is a little bit bigger, if I would do that, yeah, I have, but haven't recently. I mean, you're basically trying, you're sampling. Try different things, see what happens. I mean, you could say you turn the ball over, you're coming out. That'd be one way to sub. If you have 27 turnovers, you're going to sub a lot.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, okay, so let's talk about that in particular. My last point for the evening.
Okay.
For the
morning.
Morning. So if I do that, you've got a turnover. Man, that's going to be a revolving door. And then I hear the thought of, well, what are you doing to their confidence?
Well, we've had 60 turnovers in two games. So I would have a discussion about them and say, do you think it's too many turnovers? I did this. It's like, have an open discussion. Is it too many turnovers?
Oh, they know it.
Yes. So here's what we're going to do. This is not a punishment. This is not me against you. But if you turn it over, you're coming out. But not if you eat it. Not if you throw it in the right direction. I mean, you got to give some, like, you get a 5-second count. What?
Throw it in the stands.
Yeah. If you do that stuff or you get a 5-second call, that's a turnover, but I'm not taking you out for that. I'm taking you out for the ones that you don't make the right decisions. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it can't hurt at this point, but I wouldn't do it for every game, but I'd say, I think we're going to try this in this game and see if it helps.
How long would you do it?
I would see if it slowed him down. My guess is it will slow him down.
Should I do that in practice?
Yeah. Do you have enough guys to do it in practice?
Yeah, I think barely, but yeah. Got 12 guys.
Yeah, so turnover, come out. That's automatic in my practice. You turn over and you're in a drill, you're out. Can't turn the ball over. And I want you to score more points. I want grandma to be happy and see that you scored 20. Like, I want that. But we can't do that if we don't shoot 30 times at the bat.
I need this.
Try this. I'll send it to you.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe, like, jump up and down, review, do whatever you got to do. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great
Sports Social Podcast Network.